or healthy lifestyle now.
Big news over the weekend on the international stage, and something that affects the United States, Afghanistan. Abdullah decides, nah, I don't want any parts of this runoff. We'll dive into that. Plus, while we're in the Middle East, the Saudis discovered Al-Qaeda weapons, a stockpile of the stuff. Where did they discover them, and how did this happen? We have all those details, too. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a great weekend. I was having a really good weekend until I watched the tail end of the Yankees beating my Philadelphia Phillies. 3-1 lead in the World Series. Oh, how sad. Yet the Philadelphia Eagles were triumphant at home against the New York Giants, and that was our nail the score games. Anybody nail the score? We'll tell you later. Plus, we'll go through all the NFL action for you. Hopefully, some of you had a chance to kick back and relax and put your mind at ease with all the politics and all the nonsense going on, both here on our own soil and where I just mentioned, of course, overseas, because so many of us concerned about what's happening, obviously, in Afghanistan. By the way, the pirates are at it again. They're holding a couple for ransom. They kidnapped a British couple, and they might be freed for less than $7 million. That's what they were originally asking for. These Somalian pirates will stop at nothing. And you keep saying to yourself, how do they get aboard these boats? The big tankers, I don't get it. The smaller boats, sure, I get it there, how they could overwhelm somebody. So the couple was overwhelmed, apparently. They were sailing in the Indian Ocean, and they were targets. And, hey, the British government, they're not going to pay $7 million to get the freedom for this couple. So you can imagine what it's like for them. Probably, from what I've heard in past kidnappings, they're stowed away somewhere in the jungle. Can you imagine? All right, closer to home, time for the Sunday swirl. Part of the swirl was about money, and the politics of money. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner was on Meet the Press with David Gregory, and he talked about the federal budget deficit. Gee, you think it's too high? He acknowledged that, in fact, it was too high. But the question that we all want to know, and we constantly ask, whether we're talking about cap and trade, or whether we're talking about health care reform, or whether we're talking about what's going on with the debt and who's going to pay. How do you trickle this down? How do you chop this in half without killing the rest of us with taxes? Remember, on the campaign trail, Barack Obama must have said this. He must have said this 1,000 times. People making less than $250,000 a year, you're not going to get slammed with the added tax burden. So it's interesting. Tim Geithner, in talking about the U.S. recovery and saying it's going to take a while for it to happen, really danced around the issue of whether or not you and I are going to pay more taxes when it comes right down to it.
Well, it's going to have to come down. No, it's too high, and I think everybody understands this. You know, we got these two central imperatives: restore growth, create jobs, but make sure people understand we're going to have to bring those fiscal deficits down as growth recovers. First, growth, though. Without growth, you can't fix those long-term fiscal problems. But you're not going to have a recovery that's going to be strong enough, unless people are confident we're going to have the will to go back to living within our means.
How do you bring it down, though? Do taxes have to go up?
Well, we're going to have to make some hard choices. But we're not really at the point yet, David, where we're going to know what's going to be the best path forward. The president's very committed to bring down these deficits. He's very committed to doing so in a way that's not going to add to the burden on people making less than $250,000.
I think a lot of people, it's fair to say, what are hard choices? Are you going to raise taxes?
We're going to have to bring our resources and our expenditures more into balance.
So it's possible.
Well, again, the president's committed to make sure we get this economy back on track. We're bringing down those deficits over time.
Talked about hard choices, so why can't you give a straight answer to whether taxes have to come up when you have a deficit this big?
Because, David, right now we're focused on getting growth back on track. Okay? And we're not at the point yet we have to decide exactly what it's going to take. And I just want to say this very clearly. He was committed in the campaign and he is committed to make sure we do this in a way that is not going to add to the burden on people making less than $250,000 a year. Now, it's going to be hard to do that, but he's committed to doing that, and we can do that.
All right, good luck on that, Timmy Geithner, the Treasury Secretary. Here's the other part of this. Unemployment, you know, it's a 26-year high, of course, in September, 9.8%. The October numbers are due probably by the end of this week, and it could top 10%. I wouldn't be surprised by that, really, in most areas of the country, at least some of them that were hit the hardest, like California, Detroit is another place. In fact, all over Michigan, I think it's over 10%. Obviously, Nevada and Las Vegas, it's like at 13% because if you look at what they depend upon. So then what happens? Will there be a second government stimulus package? Will it be offered? Is it going to even do anything? What about unemployment? Certainly that's going to rise before it starts to turn around, right? Are we going to see job growth in the beginning of the year? Are we going to see it in the first quarter? I mean, how long are people going to be unemployed who have terrific work experience but can't find any work? And that doesn't even include those that are underemployed or people just stringing a bunch of jobs together. And then what about the fat cats on Wall Street? We'll let you hear this too, because everybody, you know, screams about the bailouts and, you know, are you going to put some handcuffs on these CEOs? In other words, some regulations on what they can earn, because people were so outraged by things like what happened with AIG. And here was Geithner's response to that.
Seven firms, very important, that when we give these firms exceptional assistance to save them, allow them to survive, that we're protecting the taxpayers' investments, and that the resources we gave them are not going to pay excessive compensation to their executives. That's a basic thing of fair. It's fair and just, and it's necessary. And Ken Feinberg has done a very good job balancing that imperative with the basic imperative we all have, is to get our money back as quickly as possible. Well, think about it this way, David. Look at how the market has reacted to the news about the reforms he put in place. And I don't see any concern. What I would like to see AIG do, and this is what AIG is doing, is to bring down the risk that brought that company to the edge of collapse and to restructure its business so the taxpayer can get out. I'd like it to be successful enough the taxpayer can get out.
All right, so Timmy Geithner speaks. He's not the only one who hit the Sunday talk show circuit. We'll talk more about the politics that is the end of the week, swinging into yet another week. And here it is, the beginning of November. Let's hope November and the tail end of the season is a lot better for people, certainly, who are struggling. Speaking of struggling, some are struggling in their quest to be reelected. And we'll talk about what's going on there and some key positions where Democrats may lose hold and the GOP has swooped in because, I think, partially of the frustration over the Obama administration and things that have happened already here in the first part of the year. And that's, I think, reflected in some of the things that we're hearing and seeing on these polling numbers because, of course, you know, drawing near a couple of, I would call them, key elections. And then there's outrage while we deal with the swine flu in this country as to why the Gitmo detainees are getting the swine flu vaccinations. Are they getting the priority here? Because they're all getting them. And American civilians, which, hey, you know how I feel about that. I'm not rolling up my sleeve. But the ones who want them can't get the doses in some cases, but yet they're getting them at that jail in southeast Cuba. Coming up next, something completely different. We're going to talk to one of my favorite guests from the past, Dan Hayes. He's written a great book called Freedom's Just Another Word. We'll explain on the flip side.
Times are tough, and many of us expect them to get worse. The warning signs have been everywhere for a very long time. Therefore, you have no excuse not to be prepared. If another Great Depression strikes America, how will you excuse your lack of preparation to your loved ones? There are numerous places you can buy freeze-dried food. PatriotFood.com is different because our dried food supplies are not sold in fancy tin cans. Our 25 varieties of bulk food are packaged in heavy-duty, food-grade plastic bags that will last 10 years. While our competition charges $3,000, we ship to you 135 pounds of great bulk food supplies for a fraction of that. Our company is owned by a famous patriot, Big John Lipscomb. I know you can trust him. He's my dad. PatriotFood.com is the wise choice for food insurance.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's AlkaZone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
We could all use a little love, love, love. Hey, Kate, hanging with you coast to coast and everywhere in between on these airwaves. A little old show called America Tonight. You can always send us an email, americatonight.net. Promise we'll get to a mailbag segment later in these hours that we're here on the airwaves. Coming up next, he's in the green room, actually. Dan Hayes, he's been with us before. He wrote a book called Freedom's Just Another Word. Very brave to do this book, and it's an excellent, excellent read. I know a lot of, actually a lot of guys who have been helped by this. And what happened in his past was like dealing exactly with post-traumatic stress disorder and how much the PTSDs play a part in so many people's lives, and they just don't know how they're being ruled, you know, by past experiences and holding things in, and sometimes really horrible things they had to deal with, alcoholism in the family, abuse, whatever it is. So Dan's written a book, I think, that could open a lot of people's eyes and maybe help heal some people, certainly, as it is very challenging for a lot of people to come to grips with the past. Dan, thanks so much, as always, for joining us here on ATN.
Kate, I'm glad to be here tonight. Thank you very much for having me.
Let's re-rack and give everyone your road to coming up with Freedom's Just Another Word. You're a successful businessman. Again, you were somebody who worked forever, I guess, in the oil and gas business and real estate, etc. But you always had a passion for picking up the pen and doing the writing thing, and you used a deep, deep personal experience. First of all, why did you go there, and writing the book, what were you hoping would happen by doing this?
Kate, honestly, I had known, probably for 16 or 17 years, that the time period around the time my father died was a very dense experience. There was a lot going on, and I knew I would eventually have to write down that story. What I hoped to do with it was just chronicle the events that were going on during that time. That was really my main goal, was to get it down on paper. some of the things that happened around that time I had never written about.
Wow. And so when it started to pour out of you, it probably just really started to come out, right?
It really did. I had found my voice and had the voice maintain itself from start to finish, and I knew there were so many threads that were going on that I had to just stick with the one thread of me and my dad and focus on that, and I maintained it throughout the book, and it did. It just wrote itself very easily. I moved from Albuquerque to Fort Worth in the middle of writing the book. That didn't stop. I changed industries. That didn't stop it. It just kept. I would read my notes, and then all of a sudden on a Sunday, I'd write the next chapter. I knew exactly what it needed to be.
Mm. What do you remember about your childhood? Where did the trauma, where did the damage start to happen to you?
Really, it started as early as when I was like 11 years old, and this is not even things that are in the book. When I first started working with a therapist, he said, "I bet I know when your dad's father left the house," because my dad was abandoned by his father at age 11, and that's when I started to see some kind of shift go on. It was almost like an unconscious antipathy toward me that didn't make any sense to me. I was a puzzled little boy.
Mm, boy. And, you know, as I said, it's tough for guys. I mean, let's face it, there are a lot of men listening, obviously, to America Tonight. It's really tough for, and I have a lot of men close to me in my life, and it is tough for guys to, I don't know, to shed whatever the armor is when they've gone through something like you've gone through starting at an early age, whether it's an alcoholic father, any kind of abuse, whatever it is. But wouldn't you say to them, because you feel like you're in a better place, that that there's something about peeling away those layers that can sort of free you up, I guess?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Here's the way I characterize it recently. My dad had his first heart attack. He didn't want to deal with the past of his painful past. So he got sober, cleaned up his act, but didn't want to deal with anything in the past. He had his first heart attack when he was 44,
mm-hmm.
open heart surgery when he was 47, a colostomy when he was 51, and he died of a stroke at 59.
Oh.
I am now 59 years old. Wasn't lost on me that I am now the age that my dad was when he passed away. I just got through with my annual physical, and the doctor said, "Well, you haven't got anything wrong with you." You know, and it took me a while for that to sink in how huge that statement is. I am emotionally getting younger year by year as I get rid of the layers of that stuff.
It has lengthened.
I plan to be a 90-year-old man doing Tai Chi and writing books.
I love that, and I think you really will be. And
yes.
there's part of this in which anybody, which a lot of therapists would tell people, but you can read about, and I'm sure you've read about over the years, but it's harder to do, is you got to let it go. You got to forgive, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a great line in a book by Pat Conroy called The Lords of Discipline that says, "Forgetfulness is the most gentle form of healing and the most dangerous."
Mm.
I know one guy who decided he was going to ignore it and it would go away, and I watched him do what I had done back in the 80s. He sabotaged his career and lost a very prestigious job, lost his house, almost lost his wife. It all fell apart on him because he thought, if I go swimming on a regular basis, I won't have to deal with it.
Mm.
You know, and it just doesn't work that way.
Because it's still there in the recesses in the corner somewhere. We talk to a lot of different people who have post-traumatic stress disorder in different forms, obviously. And you mentioned this, that you go and you get the physical and you're great and you know you're going to live a long life and you plan to and you feel healthy and all that sort of stuff. But how does it affect a lot of other people who are adults who are listening to this? I mean, we know this from the guys we've talked to that have come back from Iraq and have come back from Afghanistan. And there was a guy we had on the show. His name's Michael Anthony, great kid, just in his 20s, was a medic, came from a family who served, wanted to serve proudly, and he did, but was stunned by what happened. And when he came back, half of the people he was with, they killed themselves, and he had to go through that, and he had to admit that he was having trouble, and he was struggling with what he saw, and so he had to peel away those layers, a little bit different because we're talking about war, but still the same thing, the PTSDs.
Absolutely. Well, I'll give you this one example. I connected with a guy through Twitter earlier in the summer who was a Vietnam veteran who shared that he discovered, and several of his vet buddies had to kind of mirror back to him and point out he had PTSD before he ever went over there.
Mm.
He related to a lot of what I was sharing because he grew up with a violent alcoholic. And, it, you know, they talk about the definition of PTSD is when someone is confronted with an event or event that involved actual or threatened death or serious injury. And that's what I was faced with. It comes out in the later part of Freedom's Just Another Word that I remember an event with my dad where I walked out of the room expecting the bullet in my back. You know, he was at home with a loaded gun, and it turns out what was going on was, I think, his drinking was bottoming out, and he was contemplating killing himself. Instead of that, he turned it on me.
Wow.
You know, and I think this is what this Vietnam vet was characterizing, that he already had a lot of those symptoms, so going into combat was re-stimulating the familiar. I mean, back in the 80s, I was having flashbacks where I would flash back to memories that I didn't, you know, it's kind of, if you've ever watched The Bourne Identity or read the book, where he has amnesia and he can't remember his past life, but he starts getting little flashes of memories from that past life.
Sure.
That's what I was having going on in my, when I was 36, 37 years old, I was flashing back to memories that weren't conscious yet.
Mm.
And they gradually started to come to the surface. And honestly, things, that's why, part of why I had to write Freedom's Just Another Word, because once I got back that memory, the bottom line message from it was, by the way, if you're successful, it's dangerous. If you're successful, I will kill you. Well, no wonder I had sabotaged my success in the business world for a number of years. And once I got that memory back, things started to make more sense. That was the hope.
Yeah, connecting the dots. All right, again, I think it's a terrific book. I read it months and months ago when we first had you on. It's called Freedom's Just Another Word. Pick it up at Amazon.com. Dan has a website as well. You can go there. It's danhayes.com. Always a pleasure, my friend, to have you on, and continued success.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you had me, Kate. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Again, Dan Hayes, who tells you that it's tough to peel away those layers, but boy, sometimes what a difference it can make in your life. And I know that there's people dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. Sadly, too many of our servicemen have to live through that and then don't want to say anything to anybody. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to do the odds and ends thing from over the weekend. Stories you might have missed. Stay hooked in.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Rush Limbaugh says Obama is in over his head, and that's the problem. He's going to get one term, and that's it. Do you think Rush is right? Is he a one-term kind of guy? Are that many people down on the Obama administration before his first full year is even in the books? You can weigh in on that at 800-259-5791. I'll give you some of the specifics on the Limbaugh comments. He was on for half an hour on Fox, and I'll tell you what he said. In the meantime, obviously the world wanting to know, with Abdullah deciding that he's not going to do the runoff thing. First of all, what happened there? Obviously, Hamid Karzai is pretty much handed that second term, so he is the guy, because what are the options? Abdullah was on CNN with Christina Amanpour, and here's what he had to say in that interview with her.
I think I took too many things in consideration. First of all, the electoral process in itself is under big question after what we went through in the last round election. That was the main issue. And apart from that, looking at the situation, security and many challenges which are ahead of us. So I thought that this was in the best interest of my supporters, the people of Afghanistan, for me not to participate in the November the 7th elections.
All right, so that's pretty clear cut. And he also said that he wouldn't ask people to rally, that he would constantly push for reform and fight, you know, to make the country as best as possible, but that he was not going to anyway try to sabotage the president, President Karzai, his leadership. And this leadership is a weak government, however. It's corrupt, it seems, beyond belief, right? A third of the votes he won in the August election were thrown out as fraudulent, fakes, phony. So what other choice, though, does the United States have but to stand by this president? Because what are the options? I mean, he's not a strong, great partner, to say the least, for the United States, and somebody of the Western allies, I think, have incredible faith in. And, you know, what's going to happen here with the Taliban ultimately? You know, Karzai had a close relationship with the Bush administration, and he was pushed into power basically when the Taliban fell apart in 2001. I don't think with this administration he's got a great relationship, to say the least, right? But there is nobody else, obviously. He's the guy. He's going to be the one, especially with Abdullah pulling out. Effectively, Karzai is the guy, right? Abdullah said himself, in between the lines of what you heard him say there, that transparency in an election is not possible, so I don't even want to be part of it. So he gets another five-year term because the challenger drops out of the race. Now, what the Obama PAC is saying, well, look, we were ready to work with this guy anyway, and we'll do what we can. We'll combat the corruption and confront the Taliban and all that's happening there. And at the same time now, okay, so now, if Karzai's the guy, then stop the crap of not talking about the strategy. Okay, another war meeting. This is the sixth. This is the seventh. How many war meetings do we need? Make the decision. Either send in 20,000 more troops to Afghanistan or not. I've already told you before. I heard it over a month ago from a good source that it's going to be less than 40,000 anyway. So what does that do to McChrystal's idea in a perfect world of what he needs as the commander of the army in Afghanistan to make this puppy work? Well, he's not going to get it all. I mean, October was the deadliest month in the entire eight-year war for the U.S. So 6 days before the runoff election, boom, I'm calling it quits. I'm done. I'm not going to do this. I think there's more to this story, but Abdullah's not saying. He says it's not possible. It's not possible to get an honest to God clear election here. It's not going to happen. So, you know, the Secretary of State Clinton congratulates Abdullah for a dignified campaign and said the United States is going to support the next president and the people of Afghanistan. They deserve a better future. Now, on the troops and whether to send them or not, you might not even get a decision before Thanksgiving. Maybe. This painstaking review, just so we know and we're on the same page because I circled my calendar, has been going on since the second week of September. Yeah. So you got 68,000 troops already ordered to report to Afghanistan by the end of the year. McChrystal, we already know this, wants much more to prevent the Taliban from letting al-Qaeda use Afghanistan as sort of a safe haven. And that's what they did leading up to the September 11th attacks back in 2001 on the United States. Whew, wow. All right, so I said this was odds and ends. There's other things that we're going to hammer on here, and one of them was certainly one thing that was interesting was to hear what Rush Limbaugh's take was. Now, obviously, he's not going to be a fan of Barack Obama's. It's pretty clear, I think, right from the get-go. But what Limbaugh said in his television deal, because he was on, I want to say, he was on for a half an hour or whatever. I mean, on his radio show, of course, he's going to rail against the current administration and health care overhaul and all the obvious things I'm sure that you're hearing on many of the stations that you're listening to right now. But it was curious to hear him talk about Obama. I thought it was interesting what he said. He said he's a narcissist. And see if you agree with this. He said, listen, he's a narcissist who's immature, inexperienced, and in over his head. He did an interview with Fox News Sunday. And, you know, he talks about a lot of different aspects of the administration. And he said something that I got nailed for in a couple of the emails, which I'm cool with anybody sending any emails, whether they agree with what I say or they don't agree with what I say. In fact, I always invite people to call. There's not one. We're not marching to the same drummer here. I mean, this is about conversation. So I welcome any conversation on any of the things that we're talking about. But I said this last week that I thought, to me, it was Don from Wyoming who asked me, geez, Kate, what did you think of Obama's visit to the Dover Air Force Base and the 18 guys who came back in caskets, and you know, what did you think of that? And he had a tear in his eye, and you know, whatever. And you know how I feel about the whole Afghanistan thing and the dragging, just dragging it on and on and on with no clear-cut strategy or decisions that are being made. And I said pretty much what Rush Limbaugh said, is he said he thought it was a photo op that was supposed to create the impression that he has huge concern while he sits around and tries to go back and forth on this new strategy for this 8-year war we've had in Afghanistan. And, you know, I think he's dead on. I thought it was, you know, I got called cynical and a witch playing for the other side and whatever, and that's fine. But, I mean, I say the same thing. It just seemed odd to me that of everything that's happened now, that suddenly he showed up there. And, boy, I'd love to be wrong on that. The other thing that Limbaugh said is that he called him a man-child president. He says that a lot on the radio. And he says, look, it's just what I'm saying, that he's immature, he's in over his head, and that's what the deal is, okay? So there was a response to Limbaugh, because TV time, you know, getting the TV time thing, even though he has tons of listeners on his radio show. So David Axelrod, who is Obama's senior advisor, said, you know, it's a surreal day when you're getting lectures on humility from Rush Limbaugh. And he dismissed Limbaugh as an entertainer. And Axelrod went on, especially with the Dover thing, to say that most people appreciate Obama's visit to the Air Force base and thought it was appropriate because he was representing the American people and paying his last respects. But again, it may seem a little callous or cynical, but it did seem a little strange from what we've been seeing with what's going on with Obama and certainly this White House. So now the question becomes, is he right in summarizing this whole thing of Obama, who, you know, you've got all these poll numbers that come out daily, the Rasmussen poll, and it sort of goes up and down and sideways at times. Is this what you think is part of the problem with Obama? If you don't agree with what's happening with the Obama administration, is it because he's inexperienced, immature, whatever? I think the inexperience is what shows with the attacking, like the Fox News thing, because who cares? If I were president, and I guarantee people would shellack you from the right, from the left, from everywhere in between, do you really make it such a big issue? And then do you have your people out there saying, well, we control the media. Are you kidding me? I mean, let's hope that we're never saying that the government is controlling the media, because none of us want to see that happen, huh? I don't think so. All right, in the meantime, as I said before, this is pretty controversial. The H1N1 vaccinations, a.k.a. swine flu, let's call it what it is being offered to the Guantanamo Bay detainees. Now, we've had guests on the show, doctors who say it's ridiculous that people won't get the vaccination, and we've had people on this show who have said, like Dr. Horowitz, I wouldn't touch it. Are you kidding me with a 10-foot pole by how quickly they rushed it through? And you got to think who's profiting off of this. And then the Pentagon comes out with, we're going to offer the vaccinations to the guys at Guantanamo. And they made that decision based on some assessments that people at the detention facility say that they are at a high risk for a pandemic. Oh, my, oh, my. And the world keeps turning, turning, turning. Meet me on the flip side.
If you always thought an emu was a large, flightless Australian bird not much good for anything, you'd be, well, very wrong. Introducing ValleyViewEmus.com. Valley View Emus is a small, woman-owned family farm in Fenimore, Wisconsin, operated by Betty Lou Kaufman. Betty Lou assures you life gets better when you reap the health and wellness benefits of her high-quality emu products. A full line of the highest quality emu oils, lotions, craft products, pet care, and emu meats. The health benefits of emu oil alone will amaze you. Learn more about the complete line of emu products at ValleyViewEmus.com. And when you're ready, go right to the online shopping cart to place your order. Valley View Emus. eNews offers a 30-day money-back guarantee on all sales. Visit ValleyViewENews.com. That's Valley, V-I-E-W-E-M-U-S.com. Or call Betty Lou toll-free at 877-436-8537. Valley View eNews, where farm to fresh means quality and care.
The once mighty U.S. dollar has been replaced as the world's reserve currency. Trillions and trillions of dollars outside the U.S. will come rushing back to be redeemed into anything tangible. Foreigners will buy anything at any price to escape the soon worthless dollar. The once great dollar has been destroyed by our own reckless and irresponsible leaders, and Americans will soon be paying the price for this foolish behavior. Prepare now. Ready Reserve Foods is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you're buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
An A to Z product listing, top 20 bestsellers, and 30% off monthly specials. That's just a few of the many reasons why vitamin, mineral, and herbal supplement shoppers visit RippleCreek.com every day. Listen.
I'm a customer of RippleCreek.com and find it to be one of the best companies of its kind in product, customer service, and speed of delivery, and your prices are great.
RippleCreek.com has the full range of discount vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplements in an easy-to-use A to Z listing. Find everything from amino acids to grapeseed plus to our special colloidal minerals formula with over 99 trace minerals. Yes for Women, fun intimacy enhancement cream to zinc. Not sure what your body needs? Click our handy vitamin guide at RippleCreek.com. Choose the low-cost online vitamin store where the internet has shopped since 1996. RippleCreek.com. Type in radio ad, and on orders over $40 this month, get a free bottle of our Grape Seed Plus product while supplies last. Hurry to RippleCreek.com today. That's RippleCreek.com.
I haven't heard it in a long time. John Cougar Mellencamp, or John Mellencamp, or whatever. And he's John Cougar Mellencamp now. I want to say he celebrated a big birthday. Like, he's like 60 now or something like that. Remember his song Little Pink Houses, Jack and Diane? Man, that seems like 1,000 years ago, doesn't it? All right, we're talking about, as always, a plethora of things here on ATN. You can jump into the water whenever you want and throw in your 2 cents, 800-259-5791. It's Rush Limbaugh right in saying that, hey, this president's a narcissist. He's immature. He's in over his head. That's the problem. He's a one-term guy, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing. And the White House says, well, look, he's an entertainer, whatever. And it's true. I mean, Rush's job is to get ratings. He does. People listen. He has almost 20 million listeners, which is crazy good when you think of radio audiences. But I'm just interested in, when he was talking smack on Fox, has he hit on to something? Is that what it is? Because I know I've said this before, and I've said this for the last couple of months. In fact, tonight I had this conversation. I was at a dinner somewhere, and a lot of the people at the table, some were independents, some were Democrats, some were kind of undecided folks, some were conservative. And a bunch had said, listen, they just blurted out, look, I voted for Obama, but man, I am not liking what I'm seeing on a couple of different things. And most of it did come back to that it was almost like we were rudderless. It felt like we were rudderless. Do you think they're is this truly a feeling? Is there's this push from the White House to say, oh, this is all those crazy right-wing extremists and those talk show radio people and the Fox people. That's where this is all coming from. I think the American people love what's happening here, and I'm not getting that vibe from people that aren't even part of GOP land or conservative or any of that. I'm getting that vibe from people who say they voted for him, don't like a lot of the things that they've seen happen, and think also that this health care deal is farcical because they wanted to see, in one case, wanted to see the public option or so-called, let's face it, eventually state-run health care, and they're not getting that. There's massive confusion over what the Senate bill has now been pumped into and the House bill, which is crazy, ridiculous, almost 2,000 pages. And, I mean, no joke, you really cannot read this whole thing. And even if you can understand it, you just cannot read the whole thing. There's just no way you would have time to do that, let's face it. So it pretty much what I'm hearing across the board is kind of like what Limbaugh is saying, maybe in different words or terms, but it's the feeling that I've gotten. I'm talking about people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and so forth. You can always shoot me an email on this, americatonight.net, americatonight.net. A couple of other things that are happening across the country, including the fact that we've got, a bunch of interesting elections happening in this country, in some key areas where, you know, the Democrats, it's kind of dicey as to whether or not the Dems are going to get in or, you know, what's happening. And you've got the president making a swing and pitching for a couple of different people, including the Democratic governor of New Jersey, John Corzine. And, you know, this is kind of the final thing. He's the only governor seeking re-election this fall. And Obama says, listen, this is one of the best allies I have. He's one of the best guys to work with that's out there. And there was a rally in Camden, stone's throw away from where I grew up in Cherry Hill, and there was 7,000 people there. And then he was in Newark in northern New Jersey. There's 11,000 people that came out for that. And he was pushing and urging people, the president was, to give Corzine another term. And, of course, part of the problem is if Corzine loses, I mean, this would be pretty embarrassing for the White House because you've had, first of all, Obama working with him and pumping up his campaign. And right now it's really considered a toss-up. Chris Christie is the GOP candidate. And I just happened to see before I went on the air this new poll that was released from Monmouth University in Gannett in Jersey. And it showed that Christie was backed by 43% of the likely voters, Corzine 42%. And, you know, that there are people, obviously, in New Jersey would be considered a much more liberal state, certainly Democratic, who are thinking of going the Republican way if these polls are right. So this is it. This is the final push of a very close election, and man, he is wrapped up in what they call the Obama brand. He is front and center when it comes to the support from the president. And Corzine, of course, gladly took the leg up from Obama. But if this is a loss in New Jersey and he's replaced by a Republican challenger, woo. This is just the first, I think, of some of those dominoes that could fall that we've talked about on this show a lot. When you trace the steps of politics, you know, follow the money, follow what's happening across the country. And that is very telltale, again, because of the makeup of New Jersey, for the most part, really not a GOP stronghold in any stretch of the imagination. And you have a governor, first of all, who was almost killed at one point, if you remember, when he was traveling in a car and didn't have a seatbelt on. Of course, I think this was right before he became governor, but he had a popularity among the voters in New Jersey, but now something has slipped away. And is it because of the frustration over what's happening with the agenda in Washington? And this is a big one, I think, for Barack Obama. Certainly on the home front. I mean, we know internationally, hey, Obama gets the Nobel Peace Prize, but the move to Copenhagen to push for the Olympics for Chicago, that didn't go over too well and didn't look great. Didn't look great for Obama. Here, of course, across the United States, and you think of other elections and other important races that'll start to come up again, this would be a big blow, I think, for the White House, to say the least, no doubt. If you stick around for a couple of our other hours, something we got to tell you, we will let you know whether or not somebody nailed the score. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, it's a good excuse for me to plug Nail the Score. On Thursday/Friday, because really it's Friday morning for everybody across the country, if you call the show in our third hour, our computer will randomly pick the game of the week in the NFL. And then you can call in. Don't have to know anything about football. We got all kinds of people calling the show. It's like the lottery. You tell us what team you think is going to win and what you think the final score will be. And if you correctly nail the score, you win all kinds of cool, groovy prizes from America Tonight, like a cell phone. Who can't use a cell phone? A free one. A cell phone, a movie, a bunch of movie tickets. I had to think off the top of my head. A bunch of movie tickets and also gift certificates for all kinds of restaurants across the country that all of us are pretty much in any area. And if they're not, we would certainly exchange them. I don't think you're going to have that problem. And there's some other things, too. I wanted to tell you everything that would be in the prize pack because I am so desperate for somebody to win this. And, yes, some of you have come close, but yet nobody has nailed the score yet, I don't think. But I'll have to figure out last week if anybody did it or not. The game, of course, was the Eagles and the Giants. More reasons to tune into America Tonight.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time.